Welcome to Stirring Words, where health and fitness experts Kim Taylor and Judy Ulrey explore God's wisdom on wellness. Listen in now on their weekly phone conversation. Miss Kimberly.
Hello, Judy. How are you doing this fine day?
Hello, Miss Kimberly. Isn't there a song? What it has her song? This fine day. Okay, it's like in my archive. This fine day. Okay, sorry. I think that's a song, but I don't know what it is.
I think it's called One Fine Day.
That was it.
I do know what you're talking about. That's it. That is. And it is a fine day. It really is a fine day. We've been talking about some heavy subjects, haven't we?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, we have. And this one is going to be a heavy subject as well. We've left behind the discussion on gluttony, but this particular subject is around weight loss. And what's interesting, Judy, is this is from a listener's question, actually, to us. And one of the things that I thought about even after I read her question was that many times we focus on the positives of weight loss. But what do you do when you experience a negative reaction from other people after you reach your weight loss goal? So this is a special episode. And this listener wanted us to address an issue that she encountered after she reached her ideal weight. So Judy, I'm actually going to ask you to pray us in. And then we're going to read the focus scripture for this episode. I'm asking you to read the focus scripture rather. And that scripture is Romans chapter 12, verse 13 through 14.
Would be privileged. Gracious, gracious Father, it is such an honor to bow before you, to stop the world and listen, to be in your word and to anticipate that your spirit will stir us up, will teach us. So our prayer today, Lord, is use this passage in Romans to mold us, make us, change us, inspire us, stir us, ensure us, assure us. For we come to you and ask in the name and the power of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And you asked me to read Romans 12, 13, and 14, which reads, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Kim, how can such a short passage be so jam-packed?
Yeah, it really is. And you can see God's wisdom within every single phrase there, which we could actually do an episode on that, you know, really this scripture alone. But I thought this one was applicable because listen to this reader's question. Our topic today is going to be confronting weight loss rejection. But here's her question. And this is, she said, I have lost 35 to 37 pounds and I have reached my goal weight. Praise the Lord. Now, this is the problem, and I'm not hearing anyone talk about it, nor have prepared emotionally to deal with it. I haven't seen any books written to help us work through this phenomenon. Why is it that 99.9% of the time people treat folks who have lost weight either better or worse after weight loss? Some seem not supportive of our healthy lifestyle, and others shoot hurting comments. Some are critical, tell you this and that. So my question is why? And it's just confusing. So first, I do want to thank our listener for the question, because this is a great topic. And she's right that we haven't talked about this before. And I'm sure that some of our other listeners can relate to this, because it is amazing how some people can change the way they treat you after weight loss. Some people are supportive and encouraging, but others can be downright critical or even hurtful. And you know, Judy, this issue isn't limited to weight loss. It can be true when someone experiences any success, like business success, for example, but are blindsided when they don't get the support from other people and other people don't celebrate with them. Even sometimes even seems resentful when this other person has obtained success. So I'm just curious about this, and this is not necessarily about weight loss and, from your perspective, but I'm just curious about your thoughts about dealing with the specter of other people's rejection when you obtain a goal or even do a good work for the Lord. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't want to seem insensitive because I'm sure that this was and remains painful for anyone who's really achieved some success and is not being recognized and might even be defamed for it. But I would remind the person who asked this question or anybody who deals with this to remember that your efforts and accomplishments are for God's glory.
Amen.
Not yours.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I, Kim, say all the time, you can't, but God can. I mean, the premise of this podcast, the premise of our message week after week is the way to weight loss or habit change is through surrender of the heart. And God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, changes you.
Right.
So when you remember that, and I think this the person who submitted that question said, you know, thanked God for her success, then I would simply encourage her to continue to thank God for her success. And knowing that, look at the rejection Jesus had. And all that he did, and yet he got nothing but rejection. So I would turn this on her head and say, look for opportunities, not to wait for affirmation, but look for opportunities to share his story of grace manifested in how he transformed her habits versus self-acknowledgement. Because again, truth be told, seeking recognition from others just going to set you up for disappointment because that is a path that is very lightly traveled. So message being look up, not out. Now, all that being said, we are, as Christ followers, called to support and encourage one another. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So let's ask ourselves, you, Kim, me, anybody who's listening, am I an encourager? So I think there is the message. We are called to encourage. Let's be aware of encouraging one another, especially in this sensitive issue of heart change. But in terms of when it's us feeling like we need that encouragement, that comes from the Lord, that comes from the Word, that comes from acknowledging that it actually was His doing, not yours anyway.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen, my sister. Amen.
So I have a question for you. Can I just like turn the table for a second?
Sure. Go ahead.
If anybody has missed your story, and Kim, I have to tell you, it's been a while, I think, since you told your story about how you lost 85 pounds. Like, I know you've told it, but I think we're coming on 2.5 years or something with Stirring Words. So it's been a while. So anyway, my question to you is it time for you to retell that story? And did other people treat you differently when you lost that weight? Like, for those who are experiencing this issue, why do you think people around them would treat them differently because you lost that weight and were you treated differently?
Well, Judy, I'll get to that one in just a minute. But I think that even before we talk about how other people responded, I had things going on within me that I had to confront first, which was my own fears of weight loss, because I was afraid at that time. I was a single woman when I lost the weight, and I was afraid that I would receive male attention, that unwanted male attention. So I was afraid of that. And then I feared that I would change as a person and become like the villain in the old TV show Dynasty, and thought that I would become somebody I didn't like. And one of the things that I found when I lost weight, which this is related to her question, but I found that other people did respond to me differently. But in my case, that was because I was different within myself. So when I was overweight, I was passive and I was a people pleaser. And that was because I was so afraid of rejection, I would ignore my own needs and just go along with what other people wanted. So I was different. But on my weight loss journey, the Lord worked on healing me from within. And I saw how much He loved me right where I was. And I started seeing myself as a person of value, and that my voice mattered. And what I discovered is that you can stand up for yourself without being nasty, that you can treat people with love and respect, but still say no and set boundaries. And one of the things that the Lord taught me through my weight loss journey was balance. So to our listeners, I want them to consider, who asked the question, I want her to consider if she might have changed within in her weight loss journey. Because if she's like me and you are a person who other people could manipulate into doing what they wanted, and now you have the ability to say no, that other person may not like that. Because I always think of it, Judy, as like our relationships. They're like a dance, because we come to know the other person so well that we can almost anticipate their steps and respond accordingly. But what happens when the other person introduces new steps into the dance? Then the other person has to adjust, and many people just don't like change. So here are some other reasons I thought of why somebody might treat someone differently after weight loss. And then I'm going to ask your thoughts about this, Judy, because I came up with about three reasons, I thought. So the first one was that the person may actually be jealous of your weight loss. They might feel like you've achieved something that they haven't been able to do so far, and this can make them feel insecure. The second reason that I thought of, it might be kind of similar to the first reason. They might be uncomfortable with your new body. They may be used to seeing you as a heavier person, and they may not know how to relate to you now that you're slimmer. And then finally, some people may just be ignorant about weight loss. They may not understand the hard work and commitment that it takes to lose weight, and they might even be resentful because they think it was so easy for you, but so difficult for them. And so what they're doing is they're comparing your highlight reel, your results, to their difficulty and their behind the scenes, not knowing that you had your own behind the scenes and difficulties that you had to face and overcome just like they do. So you're no different. So those are the reasons that I came up with, Judy, that they might be jealous, they're uncomfortable, or they just simply might think erroneously that you had it so easy and they had it so hard, so they're resentful. Could be that. But again, even at the bottom line is it has more to do with what's going on inside of them than it has to do with you. So now, Judy, I'm curious about your thoughts on this. Did you have any other thoughts or reasons why someone might face rejection from others when they achieve their weight loss goals?
Well, I think you nailed it very well.
Thank you.
And I'm sad to acknowledge or affirm you that jealousy is very real, and it's even in the church. So, but what I would add to that jealousy that can come up, because look at how what you've done and I haven't, but is guilt.
Mm.
Because it's not just jealousy that you have done well and established new habits that are revealed in a slimmer body, but I haven't. I haven't done that, and I feel guilty. And so it was interesting. I recently attended a conference for biblical counselors. and I was showcasing Stirring Words and my book, Sprinkled Clean. And I asked, so these are churched people. These are brothers and sisters in the Lord who are counselors based on the Bible. And so I asked several people why they thought the church, capital C, is reticent to talk about physical self-care. And I'm not kidding you. Every single person said, because of guilt. More than one person said, because pastors, many of whom are physically unfit, are unwilling to look at that issue. You know, I think, Kim, you and I have talked more than one time and have admitted more than one time, this can be a sensitive issue. You and I talk every week about eating more healthfully, moving more regularly in order to better take care of our temple, our bodies. But it's a sensitive issue. And the emotions around weight loss or food or exercise, the whole gambit, run very, very deep. And so, unfortunately, in addition to, you know, jealousy and maybe just ignorance or maybe just a discomfort, I think there's some guilt.
Yeah, that's interesting, Judy, because I posted about our episode about Let Us Talk About Gluttony on my Facebook page. And one of the ladies who responded to that, that's the very thing that she mentioned, is that many of our church leaders deal with this issue too. So they don't want to call it out in the congregation because they might have guilt because they're not taking care of their bodies as God's temple either. So it is a sensitive issue, but it's one that we do have to have the courage to confront and speak about it. Because it has not done us good to hide this issue and pretend like it does not exist. There's a saying that says you cannot conquer what you will not confront. And that is certainly true in this area. So as I mentioned about this lady, and thank you so much for your insight as well. But one of the things that we are going to talk about here lastly is how someone can handle negative reactions from others after weight loss. And so the first thing that a person who is dealing with this, the person is for them to remember that they are responsible to God for what they do and other people are responsible for what they do. Because people generally, like I mentioned, they generally respond to others based on what's going on inside of them, which has often little to do with you. So if a person has weight loss issues themselves and see you succeed, then they might criticize themselves privately, but then project that criticism on you to make themselves feel better. And I want our listener to know that we cannot control what another adult does. We can influence them, we can love them, but we cannot control them. And you mentioned this, Judy, and this is something for our listener to consider, that Jesus faced other people's rejection doing the work that God called him to do. He couldn't please everyone, and he was perfect. And he went about healing people, but people in his hometown could not receive from him because they were offended, even though he was doing a good work. And there was nothing Jesus could do about that, but he moved on to people who could receive him and would glorify God in the process. And Judy, there's actually an article that I have on takebackyourtemple.com called Rebuking the Spirit of Rejection. So I'm going to add that to our resource page so that others, if they are afraid of rejection or don't know how to deal with that, then that article will help them in that respect, looking at Jesus's example. The second thing is to set boundaries. Because if someone is being hurtful or critical, don't be afraid to say, ouch, that hurt. Don't pretend that it didn't hurt. The other person needs to know how their words affect others in hopes that they'll humble themselves and allow God to work on them in this area, particularly if it's another believer, so that they know for sure and can call attention and awareness to them that, hey, what you just said hurt. And you don't have to be dramatic, but you can just say quietly, ouch, that hurt. and just be quiet and let them say something and see what how they're going to respond. And you can pray for them in silence, but don't pretend that it did not hurt. And also forgive quickly and pray for that person as Jesus directs us to do. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 45, it says, you've heard it said that you shall love your enemy, love your neighbor rather, and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and send rain on the just and on the unjust. And then finally, surround yourself with positive people who will support your weight loss journey. And that's why with our Take Back Your Temple membership, which you can learn about at takebackyourtemple.com/program, that's why it's valuable, because you have a whole community of other people who are on the same journey to treat their bodies as God's temple. And that health is important enough for you to act on that faith daily with God's help. And just think about it. If you didn't have support, then you might be tempted to abandon that good work that God has started in you and please others so you can fit in with them and avoid rejection. But that's a losing battle. And so our focus is on pleasing God and not pleasing people. So that really is the bottom line. Our weight does not define us. We are who God says that we are. So, Judy, that really is the final thought that I had about that particular issue that our member called our attention to. So I'm going to ask for your final thoughts on that. And we have given our listeners a lot to think about. So I'm going to ask your final thoughts and then I'm going to pray out.
You know, there's a saying, Kim, hurt people hurt people. And when we get caustic reactions or any kind of a demeaning comment from anyone, whether it's about our success in weight loss or anything, the first question I have is, what prompts that caustic vocabulary? You alluded to it, and I just want to reiterate it. What's going on in them that they feel like they need to lash out at you? And so one of the things that I have suggested again and again and again, and I feel like I'm going to do it again, is one of the most powerful things we as Christians can do generally, obviously, is love one another and love others. And as you read, even love our enemy. But when it comes to food and fitness and changing our habits, one of the most powerful things you can do to stay consistent on your own is to support someone else. Now, this may not always be possible, but whoever that person is who's being demeaning or being caustic or being judgmental or even being aloof, maybe, and I emphasize maybe, there's an opportunity for you to support them. And maybe it's not their weight loss. Maybe it's something else. Maybe they just need an ear for something else. That's like you said, that has nothing to do with you. But how can you love that person? Because anybody who is spewing negative anything is basically screaming, I'm hurting right now. And so that is appropriate. That is applicable for all of us in all situations. It's certainly not just weight loss, because, you know, we get fired at regularly, whether it's at work or from family or whoever it is. People hurt people. And sometimes it's purposeful, and sometimes it's certainly just, you know, not, and it's just being short-sighted. But if we can love in response, that is always the right answer.
Amen, my sister. Amen. So With that being said, let's go ahead and close out with a word of prayer, because I do want to pray according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 45. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have given us your word and the words that you wanted us to say to your people at this very hour. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us this word through Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 45, where you said, we love our neighbors and love our enemies, actually. Bless those who curse us, do good to those who hate us, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute us. Because, Lord, we want to glorify you. We know that the world says the opposite, but we are your children. We are sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. And you give us a great example that you make the sun rise on the evil and the good. You send the rain on the just and the unjust. So, Lord, it is our desire to represent your kingdom well and to keep our minds stayed on you because we trust in you. So, Lord, should we encounter such a situation, Father, let us keep our hearts centered on love, and let us keep our hearts centered on giving that person grace and praying for them, Lord, because in the end, it's all about us finishing this race well in you. And so we know that even though we'll eventually leave these bodies behind on the earth, unless Jesus comes back first, but our souls will live on forever. And so we thank you, Lord God, that you have saved us, and let us extend the same kindness and grace to others when they're not showing their best to us. So we thank you, Lord. We honor you and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I would just say, if anybody else has questions, email Kim or me, because we love fielding questions.
Amen. Amen. And I would also like to say, finally, that I'd like you to consider partnering with us in ministry, because your generosity allows us to continue spreading this message of health and wellness from a biblical perspective. And we believe that God wants us to be whole physically, spiritually, emotionally, and we're committed to helping others achieve wholeness. So we ask that you prayerfully consider what you can give concerning Stirring Words, whether it's a monthly subscription to our Stirring Words podcast or a one-time gift to take back your temple. Regardless of the amount, your contribution, it makes a difference in the lives of those we reach through our resource and teaching. And you can do that at takebackyourtemple.com/donate or takebackyourtemple.com/donations. They both go to the same page. So, Judy, with that being said, sister, let's go ahead and do this again next week.
My privilege.
Okay. Have a good week, sister. Bye-bye.
You too. Love you big. Bye.
Love you too.
Thanks for listening to Stirring Words. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss a session. And please tell your friends about us. If you'd like to dig deeper into this week's message, you can reach Kim at takebackyourtemple.com and Judy at holyhealthclub.com. Until next week, may you be stirred by God's transformative word.